You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
All right, so I'm going to, before I get into my notes, we're going to be reading out of 1 John today. I want to talk a little bit about this guy, John, the apostle. He self-proclaimed to be the disciple that Jesus loved. I don't know why he self-proclaimed that, and I believe that Jesus loved him. He lived longer than any of the other disciples, so maybe there's a different kind of a connection there. I don't know. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just cute in the Bible when you read that. He was part of Jesus, that inner circle. You had the 12, and then you had the 3, and John was part of that. So he was close to the Lord. And according to John, when they heard that the stone was rolled away from the grave, number one, can you imagine that? Jesus, the stone's gone, right? Mary reports. And so John and Peter, they're booking it, and John made it clear that he beat Peter to the opening of the grave. It's fun stuff. But Peter went in, and John stayed outside. I thought that was kind of cool. The other thing about John is he was put into a cauldron of boiling oil. That happened to this guy. So I paused when I read that, and I looked up cauldron. And the cauldron is simply a metal pot that has a handle and a lid. That's the definition of a cauldron. So I'm thinking, I pondered this thing. Well, John was put into a cauldron of boiling oil. It had to be big. See, he's a human. I don't know how big he is, right? And I started thinking, well, how did this come down for John? You know, was he just tossed in big splash of oil and that kind of way? Or was he blindfolded? Was he pushed in? Was there a struggle? Was he at peace? Did they put him in, put the lid on? And, you know, the emperor and the Roman guys, or the experts of torture waiting, they take the lid off and, hey! I mean, I don't know. But the point is, it doesn't matter because he survived. He survived that. So what about the emperor, right? The Roman emperor. How did he respond to that? I mean, surely he's thinking, this guy's gone. He's toast, man. This works all the time, 100%. Right? Well, that didn't happen. So, I mean, did he emotionally turn into this cauldron of intense bitterness and rage? Kind of backfired on him. You know, obviously he was shocked. Was he awestruck? Like, that moment, right? That moment that something special happened. I don't know what he felt. But I do know what he didn't know. And he didn't know this. Then in John chapter 21, Jesus said that he wanted to keep John alive until he returned. The emperor did not know that. The emperor did not know that the word of God cannot be broken. He did not know that. And the emperor and the emperor didn't know that the word of God was fulfilled when John saw the glorified Christ in his revelation on the island of Patmos, where the emperor exiled him to, because they couldn't boil him in oil. He saw the glorified Christ. God's word was fulfilled. The Lord is amazing. He is truth. And he can be trusted. So the title today is An Authentic Believer. Authentic Believer. Authentic, true, genuine. Has no substitute. I like that. An authentic believer knows the truth. So that word truth, what is truth? I went to the internet, typed in what is truth, and this is what I got. The quality or state of being true. Now, for me, that didn't really answer the definition of truth, but I thought it was interesting. This is what John, the guy we just talked about, this is what he writes about truth. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, which is Jesus, but because you know it and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is Christ? Steve said earlier that John was going to throw some punches, some truth at us. So John's calling those that don't know Christ a liar. Not me, John. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father. Also, I relate to that. Because when I did not know Christ, I was anti, I was opposed to Christ. And I remember that in my life. I remember my family praying for me. I remember my brother putting on Christian music, and I was irritated about that. I was opposed to Christ. That's what he's saying. That's what John is saying. We're just simply anti. And then, how can I be anti when I think back about something that I say I don't even believe? Where does that emotion come from? Oh, I don't believe in that stuff, but don't play that Christian music in front of me. I mean, really? It's not like we're talking about Santa Claus, right? No, Christ is truth. His name is power, and it has an effect. Christian point number one, authentic Christian believer, point number one is repentance. You cannot be an authentic Christian without being a Christian.
That's true.
Jesus said, out of John 14, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Repentance is, I'm this way right now in my life, you know, like I was, rejecting the things that my family wanted for me in Christ, rejecting the things that I've heard in church. And then all of a sudden, it's like the Lord just, it's the Lord that does it. Grab me, boom. I want to go this way, Lord. I don't have the answers. I have a lot of questions. I'm going to step out in faith and follow you. Help me to be obedient. Help me to understand what repentance is. We just turn and we go a different direction. It's very simple to say. It's hard to do. And there's an adversary out there that we're going to get to. So Jesus is described as truth. And what I love about when the Holy Spirit grabs us, there's this thing that happens in us and we cannot help it. And the things of God, the things of Jesus, they begin to germinate in us. You know, and it's a slow thing, but things happen inside of us and we start becoming or desiring the attributes and the goodness of Christ. That's awesome. And some of the attributes, there's nothing impure in Jesus. There's no sin in him. He's pure in character and integrity. His love, his grace is perfect. His love is constant. To be walking around in constant love of his people. He is merciful. His commandments aren't burdensome. He is utterly and totally sincere. I'm telling you, the world is screaming for sincerity. His patience is perfect. He heals the sick. It's not me or Logan or anybody out here that heals the sick. He does it. And he does it when we step out in faith and pray. We do that thing and we're going and coming and in the store and at work, and all of a sudden you see something, somebody or something, and there's something that caused you to pause. That's the Holy Spirit. And when we're obedient, there's never been a person ever in my life, when I've been out there, that I've walked up to and said, hey, can I pray for you? And when I was finished, I said, oh man, that was terrible. Ever. It's gratitude. It's thank you. It's brokenness. A humility comes. Always. That's because he is faithful. He comforts, he strengthens, he encourages, and these things start belonging to us as we become deeper and deeper involved in his life. He sets us free. He's the author of salvation. He's mighty to save. And he promises eternal life. And I'm telling you, he wants to be your friend, your Lord and your Savior. And that is awesome. And today, you can trust in him with all your heart if you don't know him. Romans, this is the Apostle Paul, for all have sinned. Look around and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, I just want to say, when Paul was preaching this to the Romans, he understood what it was to be a sinner, because when he met Christ on the road to Damascus, everything about his life, the perfect Pharisee, persecuting Christians, everything was revealed by Christ is wrong direction, Paul. He understands sin. And so he's saying this to the unsaved Romans. And I don't know what his countenance was. If it was that, or it was like this pleading that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, people. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That's awesome. Do not let the enemy steal away from you what God has for you. I am a sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Lord. Help me to understand that. Help me to follow you. Help me to seek you. Help me to want the desires of your heart for me. So why not today? The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If you don't know the Lord, I'm praying for you. I'm going to be degreeting, and if you accept him today, let's let somebody know. I would love to hear it, but let somebody know that this happened in your heart. So, sorry, authentic. My computer went down, so I'm using paper today. Totally old school. It was a test. My daughter, dad, it's all a test. She reminds me. And it was a bit of a test. So I'm up here with paper, and just give it to God. Authentic point number two is the gift. The amazing gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. And when you give your heart to Christ, like I just talked about, the Lord goes, here I am. And there's an indwelling that happens. The desire of the Holy Spirit is to saturate our lives. To fill the atmosphere, that song, to fill the atmosphere that surrounds us. John chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, this is Jesus, this is so good. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. So you've got Jesus asking the Father to give you a helper. It's the Trinity. To be with you forever. To be with us forever. He will never, ever, ever leave you. Ever. While we fight this fight out here. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That was me at one time. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When the Spirit of truth comes, reading from John 16, verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. All those attributes of Christ. The Holy Spirit is our guide in fulfillment of that. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you, things that are to come. The prophetic. Everybody here that has given their hearts to Christ has the prophetic in you by way of the Spirit. And the prophetic is coming up front. And a verse that encourages, comforts, or strengthens. That's the prophetic. That's the working of Christ through you. I encourage you to be obedient to the prophetic call in your life. The kingdom advances mightily when the prophetic's at work. The Holy Spirit, number one job. I just had this thought. How would you interview the Holy Spirit? But you can't do that, obviously. Number one job of the Holy Spirit is that he exalts Christ in your life. The Holy Spirit will guide you, is your advocate, is your helper, is your comforter, is the power of God in you. Is God's authority in you? Uses you to advance the kingdom of God and produces a multiplicity of fruit in your life. I don't listen to the news too much or read the paper a whole lot just because my life is busy, but a little bit, and there's a lot of fear in the world right now. I mean, there is so much. It is a jungle. It's a spiritual jungle. And I want, Lord, I pray that you would be our guide, Father, as we meander through these doors after the service today and we go about our life into a world that's desperate for the truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Logan touched on that. There's a reason it's first, the love of the Father. Love, joy, peace, patience. Who wants more patience? Holy Spirit, you dwell in me. Show me how, Lord, to be patient. Allow him to work. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Is that time for the tree? Is it behind me?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Eugene. Appreciate you guys back there. Huge. The guys behind the scenes so much. Okay. I searched for this tree. Because I love trees, I sketch trees, I look at trees, I ponder trees. It's part of creation, and I'm not picking on you, Mike, but look at that tree. I mean, if you were to walk by that tree, I think a lot of us would be drawn to it. It's gorgeous, and there's the shade, and it's probably cool, especially if it's a hot day. You're going to want to go there. And I've been on many hikes with Mike Vander Dusen, and I've seen him many times out there in the Sierras, kind of like that, just kind of tossed back, you know, his hat down, and like that. And so that's what that is. So here's the thing about that tree. An apple tree produces an apple, right? That's what an apple tree produces, and it should, because it's an apple tree. But, just bear with me, if you were a tree, and if you were filled with the Spirit, you would produce the gifts of the Spirit. And others would be drawn to your shade because they want all the fruit you have to offer. Man, you know, it's like, I don't know who picked anybody, but when the Spirit is filling us, people are drawn to us. And it's like, man, I want some of that love that guy feels, or that peace that he has, or that joy that he has. How can he be so self-controlled right now? And it's so genuine. That's the Spirit in us that people are drawn to come underneath our shade of the goodness of God that's in us. Peace. I want the peace that you have. Can I take that? That's awesome. We have this multiplicity of bearing fruit and advancing the kingdom through the Spirit that's in you if you know the Lord. Okay, authentic point number three. Steve did this last week. God has his finger on this for this church. It was in my notes before he preached. Know who the enemy is. 1 Peter, I'll just read this. I don't know what his countenance was when he said this, but 1 Peter says in chapter 5, verse 8, be watchful. I don't think it's, yeah, be watchful. There might be an enemy out there. I think he said it like that. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. So it's all action. Be watchful. Resist the enemy. And if you're in the wilderness and you're by yourself, or I don't care if you're with 5 or 10 people, it doesn't matter, and you hear the roar of a lion in Africa where Steve and Terry are, you are going to go, whoa! Everything stops. Because you know you're in trouble. And then where do you go? Prayer. Right away. Lord, protect me, please. The devil wants to rip off your destiny in God. Yes. He wants to rip off your children's destiny. Yes. And that's the generational thing that he wants to take. He will deceive you. He will guilt you. He will distract you and will divide your relationships. If we don't believe we're in a fight to the finish, Steve said this a couple weeks ago, we've lost half the battle. Yeah, amen. We do not wrestle against flesh and bone, reading out of Ephesians chapter 6, but against the, listen to this, we do not wrestle against flesh and bone. Look around. I'm flesh and blood. The argument with me and my wife is not against me or not against her. It's against the enemy. Always. That's what the Word of God says. But against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, it is game on. Our fight is never against humanity. So, when someone ticks you off, like we all get sometimes, remember, I love this verse. It's one of these verses that God has like, wow, illuminated. Somebody said it recently. It was probably in a previous preach, maybe Logan or somebody. So when someone ticks us off, or we get irritated, or that thing that wants to throw us or confuse us or create guilt in us or insecurity in us or anxiety in us, ye are of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ye are of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And sometimes we need to rephrase that a little bit. Greater are you that is in me than me that is in me. Oh, Lord. Lord, help me get out of the way of the destiny and the call you have in my life. Lord, help me. Authentic point number four, pray. It's another verse. I love this. This is God speaking to you. If my people, and he loves people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. That's beautiful. This church, we have three majors here. This service, small groups, and prayer. We pray corporately in our togetherness the first Wednesday of every month. A week from this coming Wednesday, we're here. And I've seen the faithfulness of God work in this church because of that meeting. We pray in home groups. The multiplicity of prayer in the 20 home groups that are ministering to hundreds of people in this church. It's health. Romans chapter 12, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Don't forget our hope. Be patient in tribulation. There will be tribulation in our lives. But rejoice in our hope. Keep our eyes fixed. Remember the rope that Steve had? Y'all remember that? Those that were here? It's like, you know, 5,000 feet of rope, right? If you can imagine it. And then this much of it, there's a piece of tape on. That's your life. That's the part where the person cuts in front of you and ticks us off. And then we've got this eternity out there that's been settled through Jesus that we're going to experience. So it's like, we want to see here. That Logan said, no. Oh, yeah, Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for eternity. Thank you for no more suffering. Thank you for the joy that I'm going to be in constantly. Amen. James chapter 5. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. It's healing. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Mercy. A few weeks ago, I was in Denver at a, it was a lead elder getaway. I'm not a lead elder. Steve's a lead elder here. We have a team of elders that govern this church, eight of us. Every team needs a captain. Steve's that visionary, that captain. And Dudley Ministries International, that's just a group of people that we have genuine relationship with, hundreds of churches around the world. And Dudley was speaking into the lives of these men and women that are leaders of leaders. And he said this, and it resonated with me. It was a simple question, and he said, when was the last time you took 10 minutes to pray without distraction for a specific person? 10 minutes. And that hit me. Because my answer was, I don't think ever. That's not a guilt thing. Our lives are busy, but it's something where, Lord, the illumination was if your people, Lord, were to do that, the effect of that on the kingdom, the effect of that on the person you're praying for is astounding. That's the fight. That's what the enemy does not want us to do. And that's what our culture sucks out of us, is time and busyness. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for creation, God. Thank you, you're in control, Father. Thank you for my wife, Lord God, that you created her in your image and you have a destiny and a purpose and plans for her. Keep her safe, oh Lord. And you can go on for a while. Then when you're done with that, then you start over again. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for the purpose and destiny that's in her. And fill up 5 minutes and see what happens. And I'm preaching that to me. So it's amazing what God will do with that, because it's not us. Prayer reminds us, never underestimate the power of prayer. I think that just came through. prayer warrior, that's an applicable term because we are in a war. Prayer reminds us that God does the growing. We don't have to worry about that. It's freedom. We can pray in freedom knowing, hey, you're way better, Lord, at changing this person than I am. It's God that brings change or conviction in a person's life. It's God that restores relationships. It's God that heals. Prayer is a demonstration of our reliance and faith in God. We can't do it, but Lord, you can. He delights in that. Absolutely delights when we put our faith in him to do the work. Prayer advances the kingdom of God in the spiritual realm. Prayer can change the mind of God. Read about Moses and Mount Sinai. Prayer evangelizes the lost. That was me. The prayer of my family evangelized this lost soul. And Jesus teaches us how to pray, if you've never prayed. This is Jesus. It's just a great, great outline. Luke chapter 11. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus, like in this tenderness, you know, he loved these guys. And he simply said, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Lord, thank you for your promises. Thank you for the power of your name, God. Your kingdom come. Lord, advance your kingdom through me, Father. Lord, help me walk in the power and authority that you've given me through your Spirit, Lord. Give us each day our daily bread." It's right here. He's not talking about food. He's talking about things of the Spirit. Our daily bread. I mean, each day, our daily bread. Open life. Freedom. Authority. Mercy. Grace. And forgive us our sins. There's repentance. Lord, forgive me for my attitude the other day. Forgive me for my impatience, Father. As for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. That is freedom. When we can forgive others, we're walking in the absolute trueness of freedom that Christ wants for you. And lead us not, this is the fight, lead us not into temptation. The enemy will tempt and tempt and tempt. Lord, lead me not into temptation today. May you reign in my heart. May I hear your whispers. May I do your will. And the enemy will flee. Authentic point number 5 is seek God. I'm just going to read through these. Seek God. He wants to be found. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves. It's the second time I'm reading this verse. So I love it. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. How do you seek the face of God? Do you want to seek the face of God? Lord, I desire you with everything that's in me. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. I have a lot of respect for a lot of people. But I'd rather be supported by the Lord than anybody else. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me diligently shall find me. What is being diligent? Is being diligent. Do it. And keep seeking and keep seeking and keep asking. Isaiah chapter 58, this is a beautiful section of scripture. This is God speaking, I believe, to a church. And I was reading this like, Lord, I pray this for our church here at Westside. For day after day, they seek me out. If everybody here, day after day, were seeking God out, they seem eager to know my ways. There's this eagerness in our spirit to know the Lord, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. And I pray, Lord, for our nation that we come back to you. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. That's awesome. Isaiah 58, Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, says the Lord. God is always, always available. Authentic point number six, I'm going to close here. I'm going to ask the worship team if they wouldn't mind coming up. Last year, we did the obedience series here at Westside Church. If those of you that remember, we had all the commands up here. There was 30 of them up on the wall. And I just want to say this, when I was thinking about this, you want me down? It's not, when we go into a theme, it's not this willy-nilly, let's just do this thing. There is prayer for this body here. And there is a seeking of the Lord. For Lord, what is it that this body is prepared for? What truth, Lord, can they handle? And so last year we did this thing on obedience, and it was beautiful. And so here we are this year, and now we're authentic. So we move from obedience to authentic. And I thought about that. And, you know, Steve's the visionary. God, he seeks the Lord. And this is what I wrote down. Because there's a connection. There's a direct connection between the obedience we studied and now this authenticity that the Lord wants for us. When we take willing steps of obedience to our Father, our authenticity is a natural byproduct. It becomes tangible. It becomes real, and it draws people around us to the truth that's in us. That's authentic. And I'm just going to close with this verse out of 1 John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children. When you love the Lord, you love his children, the people that he's put in your lives. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, says the Lord. Following the Lord's will, it welcomes the Holy Spirit into our lives. It's then that we experience the glory of his goodness. It's then that we are overcome by his presence. It's then that we hunger more for him. And he so desires that for us. Our hearts become free, and we don't want to stay where we've been. Lord, just thank you for this word, Father. I just pray that there'd be a deposit in this body, Lord. I pray, Father, that your kingdom would be advanced through us. Lord, help us, Father, to know the incredible gift of your Spirit that's in us, Father. We love you, Lord. Amen.
All right, thanks, Joe. If you can, let's stand up. We're going to worship one last song. We're going to worship through one last song. We have the elements up here in the front and the back for communion. And let's take communion today and remember what Jesus did for us. He is truth. Anything that is admirable about us comes from him. And we have our baskets for giving as well. And let's worship him one last time. And he is true. The only person that we can say is always true, is always right. Amen.